in a lashon of b'diyeved. That's how the Gemara begins. Hashrechet, when you shecht the beim, you have to shecht both simonim, the kona and the veishet. Kona is the windpipe, and the veishet is the food pipe. When you shecht the chicken, you shecht the turkey, oif, so it's enough if you shecht either the kona or the veishet, one or the other. And then the din is ruba kukula. If you shecht roiv of the one simon by the oif is good, you shecht roiv of the two simonim by the beim is good. So the Mishnah says, Haloshim b'diyeved, Hashrechet, one who shechts one simon, if one shechts two simanim by the behem, shechitosek shevus. So the Gemara asks right away, why is it only b'diyeved? That's exactly what you're supposed to do l'chatchila. So the Gemara gives two suggestions. Either hashrechet b'diyeved only goes on echad ba'oif, more correct would have been l'chatchila shech both simanim by the oif. And b'diyeved, if you shecht one, just like the Zedin Ruba Kukula, if you shecht roif of the simon is kekuloi, so if shecht one of the two is considered as if the shechita was chal on both simon. But really the shechita is supposed to be on the both simon. The Gemara is going to make it clear on the next daf like that. Because we had a din earlier on the first parak. If you have one of the simonim is nishmat, the kon and the veshad are attached on the top, and it's attached on the bottom. The kon is attached to the lungs, and the veshad is attached to the stomach. So if it's detached either on top or on bottom, so you can't shecht that simon. And let's say the kon is detached in the oif, and you're going to shecht the veshad. So what does it bother me, the kon is detached? So if one opinion in Tosis was, if either the kon and the veshad is nishmat, it's detached, the whole chicken is a trefa. Okay, if it's a trefa, so it doesn't help, you're going to shecht the other one. If it has a broken leg, and it's a trefa, and you shecht it, so the shechita of the trefa is metarmin de nevela, but still the shechita is not going to help. But according to the other opinion in Tosis, while the animal is alive, it's not a trefa. It's just a din that you cannot shecht a simen, either the kon and the veshad, that's nishmat memkoma, if it was nishmat beforehand. So if the kona was nishmat and I shecht the veshet in the oaf, so why is that a problem? And the Gemara said the feirishat, that poses a problem. It's an avela. So you see that the shechita is chal on both the kona and the veshet. Just like they say by behem ruba kukula, if you shecht roiv of one simon is kukula, so if you shecht one of the two simonim by the oif, the shechita on the one is chal on both. So the Gemara says either the loshen hashechit implying b'dieved goes on echad ba'oif. The Gemara says, maybe it only goes that, l'chatchila, she really shecht both, and if you want things said differently, goes on ruba kukula. The ruba kukula is only good b'dieved. More correct is, you should shecht the whole kan and the whole reishit, you shouldn't rely on a ruba kukula. And we mentioned that there's a machlekes here, Rashi and Tosis. The Rashi is on this daf, and the Tosis, Rabbi Kiveger, is Mitzayin, is in the first parak, on daf chofal, and base. Rashi learns that we're talking about l'chatchila mederabbanan. There's no l'chatchila deraisa in shechita. In a mitzvah, you can talk about l'chatchila deraisa. When you do chalitza, so l'chatchila, the mitzvah, b'shalimul says to do chalitza, and the rikike, and the kriya sapsukim. And b'dieved, if you left out the kriya sapsukim, you left out the rikike, you just did the chalitza's hasandal, b'dieved, you have fulfilled the mitzvah in an incomplete fashion. There's a partial kima mitzvah, and the woman is mentaris lihinasi lashuk. So in mitzvahs, it makes sense to have l'chatchila deraisa. In a matir, if it's muta b'diyeved, it's muta l'chatchila. If you have a l'chatchila and an iser, that can only be midirabban. So that's what Rashi said. This l'chatchila, you should really have shechted both simon, but you really shouldn't rely on ruba kukula. But b'diyeved, you can't rely. So it's a dead giveaway. It's only l'chatchila midirabban. That's how Rashi says. And Tosfos in the first parak understood otherwise. Tosfos understood that we're dealing with the l'chatchila deraisa. So apparently Tosfos is of the opinion that shechita is a mitzvah. That's what we mentioned, that the Rambam counts shechita in minyan mitzvahs. The Rambam counts whenever you're interested in eating flesh, you should shecht it in advance. So the Ravid asks Akasha, that's not a mitzvah. Shechita is a matir. Why does he count it as a mitzvah? So the Kes Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. He understood the Rambam the way the Ravid did, that the Rambam said that shechita is taka mitzvah. He held that shechita is a mitzvah. And that's why the Kes Mishnah says the Rambam goes lechumer on both of these. Lechatchila you should shecht both by the oaf, and lechatchila shouldn't rely on ruba kukula, because sveika deraisa lechumra. Kes Mishnah writes sveika deraisa lechumra. He thinks that the Rambam understood that the two iboisame, the two suggestions of what's b'dieved over here, it's an issue of lechatchila deraisa. He says sveika deraisa lechumra, go lechumra on both.
What's the subject?
The Sofik is which is the correct diuk in the Mishnah. So one version was the diuk only doesn't go on Ruba Kukula, it only goes on Shechita Sof. L'chatchila shishech tu simonim, you shouldn't be lying simon echa. But Ruba Kukula, that's good l'chatchila. And the other version holds Ziboy Seiman, no, it even goes on the l'chatchila on Ruba Kukula, that you should only be lying Ruba Kukula, but Yebed not l'chatchila. So the guest Mishnah says these were two Lashonis in the Gemara. The Rambam went L'chumra because he held that it's a Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. It's a two Pshatim in the Gemara. You go L'chumra. And Rav Soloveitchik and others, Rav Chaim Berlin, in his letters, his collection of letters, he thought that the Rambam didn't mean it either. He thought the Rambam meant you're counting the institution of Shechita. He didn't mean to say that Shechita is a mitzvah. Okay. Probably would be Baltigra, right? Baltigra, if he could have done it, then he didn't bother to. If he could have done it, just didn't bother to, then that would be a violation of Baltigra, correct? That's what the Rashba writes. When is one a violation of Baltigra? If a person has tzitzis and he only puts tzitzis on three corners, it's just not yotze the mitzvah. How is that Baltigra? A person has tefillin, instead of having dalet parsha shema b'hayom shema kadesh v'yikev yachor, he's missing one parsha. So that's not Baltigra, he's just not yotze the mitzvah. So the Rashba writes in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara there talks a little bit about Baltigra, he writes, Baltigra is only if you did a mitzvah in a fashion that you yotze b'di'evet, but l'chatchila is supposed to have done more, and you did it in a way. You did it l'chatchila the way it's only acceptable b'di'evet. So that's what the violation of Batigra is. There are a lot of people like that. They just want to know what's b'di'evet, what's the din, so that's good enough for them. So that's what the Mishnah Brura quotes from this Gemara. He said, that's a violation of Batigra. To do l'chatchila what's only acceptable b'di'evet in a mitzvah is Batigra.
For Baal Tostev, so Rashi brings down that, for example, if somebody has five parshas of tefillin or five minim for sukkahs, so Baal Tigra is not really the opposite of Baal Tostev. It's a different kind of a...
Baal Tosef also, if he's going to have the five minim in such a way that he's not yotze, so then it's probably not Baal Tosef either. Baal Tosef means he was yotze the mitzvah, but he added on a hoy sofer. So he has the fifth min, not in the kricha. We paskin lulav and tzar cheggetz, even if it is in the eged, it doesn't pasul the other. But if the din would have been lulav tzar cheggetz, then the Gemara says there would be a chatzitza. The fifth min would constitute a chatzitza in the eged, because it doesn't belong there. Then you just wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah. So then it probably wouldn't be a violation of Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef, there are two kinds of Baal Tosef. One Baal Tosef is a person invents another mitzvah. The Torah gave us 613 mitzvahs. He invents another mitzvah. He invents another yontif. He invents whatever. Another ceremony. And then there's another Baal Tosef, if he does a mitzvah deraisa behoy sofer. Means that he does the mitzvah, he's yotze the mitzvah, but he did it by sofer, the Kohanim Duchen, and they say, Yivrach Hashem Yishmerecha, Yer Hashem Panem Elecha, and then they add on a fourth pasuk at the end. They like giving bracha, so they add on a fourth pasuk, a fifth pasuk. That would be Baal Tosef. He was yotze the mitzvah by reciting the first three psukim, then he adds on another pasuk. It's right after. He's not finished yet. Yeah.
Shalom is finished.
Yeah, but he's still standing there with his hands like this. He's only proud. The Pashtus in Shulchan Aruch is only in violation of Baal Tosef if he keeps his hands up like this. And he says, B'kol Ram, if he does everything that you need for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah, then the Hoysofa, he's trying to do the Hoysofa as part of the mitzvah. But if he already took his hands down, or let's say he whispers the fourth pasuk, he doesn't say B'kol Ram, then the Ramam says that there's no violation of Baal Tosef. There's only a violation of Baal Tosef if you did the Hoysofa, let's say you have four minim, then you take a bunch of flowers and you hold them upside down. So the Gemara, the way Tosis reads the Gemara, that wouldn't be a violation of Baal Tosef, because you wouldn't be out to the mitzvah if you hold it upside down. So it wouldn't be a violation of Baal Tosef either.
So by a kerba mentha, don't mix the oil with the flowers. That would be Baal Tigra also?
Yeah. If he forgot, so Blila is not Miyakev.
So he just didn't bother to know it.
Didn't bother, right.
He was the mentha.
Right. That would be an example of Baal Tigra. That's right.
What about five pashyas? How did that work out?
So the Gemara talks about it. If the fifth parsha was there, so you have bais chitz and shein bais havir, so the whole tefillin a stam puzzle.
You have five divisions in the rosh, and what parsha is one?
If he does like that, so the whole tefillin was no good to begin with. So how is that bal tosif, right? The Gemara says.
So what's a bal tosif?
Yeah, the Gemara says he was wearing. He has tefillin with four parshias, and then he adds on. He's wearing the tefillin ksherim, and then he adds on the fifth parsha afterwards. So he did the mitzvah derais, and then he added the hoysofa afterwards. Something like that. But if melechatchila he puts in five parshas in a tefillin, so then the whole tefillin is not good. The bais chitz and shein bais havir is basel. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Yeah. Okay. So now the Gemara starts a discussion after the parentheses. The fifth line into the Gemara. Amar Avkana. The Amoraim are asking, "Minayin l'shchit tishiim enat tzavar?" How do you know from the Chumash? Where is there a pasuk in Chumash? We have Torah shebichsav, we have Torah shebalpeh. So where does it say in the Chumash that when you shecht an animal, you have to shecht by the neck? So he says, "Shenema." He understands it from the pasuk, "Ushachat as ben habokar." That's by korbanus, and by yikra aleph, that's by korbanus. "Ushachat as ben habokar." So what's the connotation? The mokum sheshoch. You have an animal, so a cow. Let's say a cow's kosher animal. So the cow usually has its head up, and then the cow can lean its head down. So that's called the mokum sheshoch by the neck, where the animal has the ability to lean the head down or to keep the head erect. So the mokum sheshoch by the neck, which leans down. So then it says. Where is it? Mokam Sheshach Chatehu. What does the word Chatehu mean? So the Gemara says, Mimai Dai Chatehu Lishna Didechuyehu. The Gemara is now commenting on the memory of Rav Kana. Rav Kana made a statement, and now they comment, the later Amoraim explained, what is that word, what was the usage of the word Chatehu mean? So the Gir says, we have it, and the Gemara, Rashi has two Girses here. So the one Gir says, Mimai, how do you know, Dai Chatehu, the terminology used by Rav Kana, is a Lishna Didechuyeh, you should clear it out. What do you mean clear it out? Clear out all of the blood from the animal. When you shecht it, you're going to clear out all the blood. So the Gemara says, Dichsiv, oh, that's a biblical word. It's not in common, it's in modern Hebrew, we wouldn't use such a word. In Aramaic, they wouldn't use such a word. But he's using a biblical Hebrew. Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, Chumash v'chiteis habayis. Sometimes you have tzaras batim, and then if the nega tzaras disappears, then you have to bring korbanos. Then v'chiteis habayis, the house is no longer tome. Kolzman that had the nega tzaras in it, that had tzaras batim, and the bayis was metame. It is tame, metame, v'chiteis habayis, you metare the bayis. So the word chate means to purify. So here also means to purify the. To purify the animal, Rashi has the two girsas. Either means to clean out, the chuye means to clean out the animal from its blood, because it's going to bleed to death from the neck. And the other pshat is chatehu, Rashi says, hachshirehu. So we have the gears in the Gemara, Mimai, how do we know what Rav Kana is talking about? That the terminology that he used, Chateu, is Lishna de Duchuyehu. That's one girsa. Then Rashi had another girsa, Maidai Chateu, Lishna, what's the other girsa? Lishna de Achshurehu, to prepare it. We have the girsa printed in the Gemara, and the Vilna Shas, the Duchuyehu means to clean out all the blood, and the other girsa was to make the animal mutabachila, loshen lachshubehu. Either way, the Gemara quotes this pasuk. The Rav Kana was using a biblical terminology, and he says chateyu. Either based on the pasuk v'chiteis habayis, or the pasuk in Tilim, techateini be'ezo ve'etoher. Dovin HaMelech prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you'll purify me, then I'll become tohar. So, it's a loshen of either purifying or preparing. Okay. Freg the Gemara, how did Rav Kana prove from the pasuk v'shochat mimokem sheshoch? He takes the word v'shochat as if it were a combination of two words, shoch chateyu. Shoch means mokem sheshoch, by the neck where the animal leans over. Gemara's going to reject the whole thing. How do you split up word? V'shochat does mean shoch chateyu. But that's what Rav Kana thought. So the Gemara asks, how do you know that it's referring to the neck? Frag the Gemara. The Yemam is Navoy. Maybe he goes, you should shech the animal by the tail, because the tail is always hanging down. Well, how do you know that it means the neck that sometimes you hang down? And for the Gemara, no. Shach, the Chlaus is Zokov Bina. No. The shachat means memoktem shachach. If the animal decides to lean down, then it leans its head down. The tail is always hanging down, so that's not the mashmas of the pasuk. That's what the Gemara answers. Shach mechlal shezoka bina v'ho, and the tail is shach v'yaymenu. It's always leaning down. Maybe it means you have to shech the animal by the ear, and the animal has the ability to cause the ears to hang down or to have the ears standing up in an erect position. I don't know. That's what Rashi says. I never dealt with an animal. That's what the Gemara says. The tail is always hanging down, and the neck and the ears, the animal can sometimes hold it up and sometimes hold it down. So maybe...
Is the term shkitza used by an oaf also?
No.
Because an oaf doesn't have a tail.
The Gemara is going to have a whole machlokes where the shechita la'oaf is menatorim in the rabbanon. Hashayla alacha ma'aseh, how we paskin machlokes how we paskin. Yeah, but in Chumash, I don't think yishchat chaya oaf. Yeah, it does say yishchat by kisi adam. It says if yishcht chaya oaf by machane v'shachat, how does it say? The shofach is dam of chisabav. I think it says hashayishchat. I think it does say the word shchita bayof. Yeah, it does say l'oshin shchita bayof. So the Gemara Rav Kana so far is suggesting v'shoch chateyu. V'shoch is a combination of two words. Gemara says, how do you know it means the neck? Maybe it means the ears. The animal has the ability to hold the ears up, but to have the ears hanging down. So the Gemara says, no, it can't mean the ears, because that pasuk in Vayikra, chapter Aleph, is talking about shechitas kachim, and the purpose of shechitas kachim is to get out the dam shanashama yotzebo for the purpose of zrikas adam al mizbech. When you cut any animal and it has a blood circulation, so first a little bit of blood is going to go out. The animal is not going to die because a little bit of blood. People cut themselves, they don't die. But if you let enough blood go out, then it's going to be damsha neshama yotzebo. That's going to kill the animal. So the Gemara says it can't mean the ear, because you're going to shech by the ear bina dama nefesh v'leka for the purpose of zrikas adam agabi hamizbech. The Torah says ki adam hu anefesh. How does the pasuk say? V'nasati lechem lechaper al hamizbech. Rashi quotes the pasuk. I put in the purpose of shechita by korbanis is to separate the dam shanashama yotzebo. So if you cut the ear, the animal is gonna be bleeding a little bit, but it's not gonna die. Freg di gemara, maybe means you have to start cutting by the ear and keep on cutting till you get to the heart, until you get to the neck. Maybe just have to begin. V'yema dekor b'yozel adam hanefesh. Maybe you start at the ear and you keep on cutting till it will bleed to death. V'su, another kasha. Rav Kana is trying to show that shechita min atzaber is a beferish of pasuk and chumash. Now how's he going to establish all the chumash al chashchita? V'su, the Gemara asks another question. She adras achala dagram aviku, all the five psulim. She means it's not shechting an animal, then you pause for 25 minutes, then you pick up later. So that passes in the shechita. If you have too long a pause in the middle, it passes. How long is shehiyah? If you could have done the whole shechita from the beginning to the end during that period of time that you paused in the middle, that's called shehiyah. And drasa means you're supposed to fiddle back and forth. Instead of fiddling back and forth, you put pressure down like this, like you're chopping a carrot or chopping other vegetables, Rashi says. So that's a psula of drasa. You always have to place pressure down. You're just going to fiddle back and forth, you're not going to get anywhere. So you have to place pressure down while fiddling back and forth. And chalada means if you, instead of cutting from the outside back, we learned when you do malika, I don't know, if you start from the back and first you break the spine. But if you shecht chulin like that, either a bird or an animal, you'll crack the spine, it'll already be a trefit before you start doing the shechita. So by shechita chulin, you gotta start from the front. So chalada means instead of starting from outside, he sticks the knife in between the kohen and the veshet, and he cuts out or he cuts to the back. So the knife was stuck in between the kohen and the veshet like a chulda. A chulda is a weasel that runs in between pieces of furniture, runs in between plants that are on the ground. So that's called chalada, that the knife is not exposed to the outside, sticks the knife in. Hagrama means you shecht too high or too low. People used to say, people didn't know. So they said, the reason why we don't shecht giraffe is because we don't wear exactly you're supposed to shecht. Well, I mean, where? Anywhere on the neck is good. The whole neck is good. Giraffe is a kosher animal. Rav Sadia Gaon has wrote an Arabic translation of the Chumash. The Chumash lists off all of the kosher animals, so he translates one of the kosher animals, he translates with the Arabic word for giraffe. Giraffe is a kosher animal, you can shecht anywhere on the neck. But hagram means if a normal animal, if you shecht too high or too low, that's no good, that's hagram. And ikar is the question, what does ikar mean? So Rashi in the first parak, and Daptesim and Aleph, I think. So Rashi said, Ikra means if you shecht with a sack and peguma, if the knife has a nick in it. Here, this Tesis, and Tesim and Aleph, Kula Taninu, so Tesis argues with Rashi. The Rashi says that Ikra means if you shecht with a sack and it has a peguma, so when you're going to shecht back and forth, the peguma is going to rip. Instead of cutting, it's going to tear the simen, the kohen and the veshet. And Tyson says, so that's by definition, that's tearing. So that's not shechita. So Tyson says, no, ikar means, Tyson quotes from the Bahag, ikar means a shecht, a simen that was already nekar mimkomo. The kohen and the veshet are attached on the top and attached on the bottom. And if it's detached, the animal can live like this. If it's detached on the top or on the bottom, and then you shecht it, so the shechita is not a valid shechita. Rashi holds, if it's detached, the animal is a trefa. That's why you can't eat it. It's a trefa while it's walking around also. If you milk it, the milk will be awesome. And Tosfos goes with the shechita, no. A simen awkward does not make the animal into a trefa, but shechita is not chal on the simen that's detached. Shechita is not chal on the simen that's neker. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana is trying to prove in the Chumash, where does it say in the Chumash you do shechita min atzabor? How is he going to demonstrate where does it say shechita drasa chalada grama v'ikur? This, the Minolan, where does he know all of that? Ella, the answer is Gemara. It's an oral tradition, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Torah Shebaal Peh, pure Torah Shebaal Peh. We have two different kinds of Torah Shebaal Peh. You have sometimes the Mishnah, the last line in the Mishnah in the first paragraph in Chagiga says, Het Nedarim, Porchim Ba'avir, Ve'en Lahem Al-Meshe Yismochu. HaTorah Nedarim is transmitted orally from generation to generation, and there's no way you can read it in between the lines. Most, the Ruba of the Torah Shebaal Peh is based on drushes by reading in between the lines. They switch from a klal to a prat, from a singular to a plural, masculine to feminine. You have mola, you have choser, you have an extra A, a missing letter, something. The construction of the pasuk is there's something awkward about it. So the Rabbanu Shalom dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word, letter for letter. We should be medayik every letter. And the Chumash, that's Ruba, the Ruba of the Torah Shebaal Peh, is the, based on the Midrash HaTorah and the Drashas.
The Gemara doesn't necessarily mean a lot of
okay, but over here it means that there's no way to darshan it from the psukim. Here, the mashmas over here is Gemara means we have a tradition, right? Hilchas Gemiri law, right? The Gemara says Hilchas Gemiri law. So Rashi and Tosis and the Rosh will always say Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, and the Rambam whenever the Gemara says Hilchas Gemiri law, the Rambam will write Min Pi Hashmua Lomdu, that they established in an earlier generation that this is the din, and when at the time the Gemara was written, it was forgotten what the derivation was. But over here, the Gemara is arguing with Rav Kahana. What does Rav Kahana have to give an interpretation? Bishochat is a combination of two words. Bishoch chatehu. But the Mises, what does he have to? He can push in Tzavar over here. Where's he going to push in Shia Drasa Chalada Gomer Vika? The answer is Halacha Moshe Misinai. Gemara, it's a tradition. Shechita Nami Natsava Nami Gemara Shain. It's also a tradition. Freg the Gemara, Kroa Lamai Osa. So what's the significance of the Shochat as Ben Abokar? What does that imply? Who says it has to imply anything? I don't know. The Gemara said that some kind of mashmois in the way the pasuk says v'shoch des ben abokar. The Gemara said, oh, the pasuk has the connotation dololosh abuye gistera. What does that mean? When you shech that pasuk in Vayikra chapter Aleph, happens to be speaking about shechitas karbonis, but who are the name shechitas chulin? So what has been dalol l'shavuy gister? So Rashi has two pshatim. So one pshat is you shech the karan neveshet, so you may decide to keep on cutting till you cut the spine. So it says, no, you shouldn't cut this. You shouldn't continue to cut the spine. If you cut the spine, you just made it into an avela. That's the one pshat that Rashi gives. How can you make it into an avela? He just shechted the kana neveshet. He finished the shechita kshera. Whatever he does later on is lamala v'lamarid. So this Rashi, the first pshat in Rashi, sounds like the Rashi later. The Mordechai points it out. On Chof Tes Amid Beis, there's a famous Tosfos, and later, let's say a person shechts Rav Kana and Rav Eshet, and he davens Mincha, he comes back half an hour later, and then he shechts the Miut of the Kana and of the Eshet. So he paused, he already finished the Shechita, he already did Rav Kana and Rav Eshet. If he leaves it the way it is, the shechita is shechita kshir. But then he pauses for half an hour. He pauses for 45 minutes. See if the animal is dead already by the time he comes back. So there's no way he can make it an avela if it's already dead. But if the animal is still jumping around, is still alive, which may well be, and then he continues to shecht the miut basra, the last miut simonim. So Rashi learns that was a suffix in the Gemara, and you go to Chumra. And Tosfos screams on the Rashi, that's ridiculous. You already finished doing the whole shechita. How can you make an nevela after you already finished the shechita?
He really wanted to shech the whole thing. That was his
kavanah. What do I care what he had in mind? It's lamal lamar. Once you finished the Rav Kan and the Rav Eshed, Gendik, they already finished the shechita. So whatever you do after that should be irrelevant. So Rashi holds not so. Rashi holds two chidushim here. First of all, Rashi holds, we usually learn shehiya. There's a dinam shoka de ligmas kula. The Gemara says, let's say a person is in the middle of the Shemana Esrei, and then he stops davening for half an hour. He stops davening for half an hour. Then he continues. After half an hour pause, he continues. Or he's saying kriyashma, or he's blowing shofar, and or the duchening, and they pause for a long period of time, and then he continues saying the third pasuk, the second pasuk and duchening, the third pasuk and duchening. So the Gemara says that there's an issue about any mitzvah that takes a while till you finish it. If you pause in the middle so long that you could have done it from the beginning till you could have said the whole three psukim, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, in the time that you paused in between. So then, they do it all the time. The Kohanim, when they duchen, they sing a long niggun in the middle. And they could have said all the three psukim, Yirech Hashem Yishmerecha, Yer Hashem Panem Elecha. Could have said everything in that period of time. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah raises an issue. Why do we allow that lechatchila? At least lechatchila shouldn't be shor kedei ligmar skula. So the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is that they sing a niggun. So since if they just stand there and they just wait, so that's taka problem. At least lechatchila it's a problem. I'm shor kedei ligmar skula. But if they sing a niggun, so somehow the niggun blends in to be part of the duchening. I don't know exactly why. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says to solve the problem. But this issue of shehiya is not just a din in shechita, it's a din in davening, a din in kriyashma, a din in mikra megillah, a din in duchening, a din tkiya shofar. Whenever there's a mitzvah that takes a while, you shouldn't have shehiya in the middle because it'll be mafsik the tziruf. So the pashtus says, what if I already shechted the roiv kan and the roiv eshet and I pause for 45 minutes, then I continue? But you don't need any tziruf. It's good what you did in the beginning, it's finished already. So Rashi understands differently. Rashi holds no. Shechita with shehiya makes an avela. Not that the first half and the second half are not mitzarfim yachad, and mimele, the animal died, and mimele, you didn't have a good shechita, so the mimele, it's an avela. No! What you did in the first half was finished. Before you davened mincha, you already shechted the roiv kan and the roiv eshet, you finished the whole shechita. You don't need any more to be mitzarif, to be mashlem, the roiv kan and the roiv eshet. If you shech, but, and then you pause 45 minutes, and then you shech the miut basra. So shechita b'shia makes the animal into an avela. That's Rashi has a chiddush. And then Rashi chiddush number two is that even after you already finished the whole shechita, you can make it an avela. So that's what Taisa says, that's absurd. Taisa doesn't agree with the Rashi. And your day with the Rav Moiz machma like Rashi, that if you do shia b'mir basra, it does pass. So
it's still alive, or at least 45 minutes.
Yeah, if the animal died already, then there's nothing to discuss. Then for sure it's not considered a hemshech of the shechita. If the animal is dead, whatever you do doesn't count. But if the animal is still alive, then Rashi has this chumrah that if you continue to shecht, that'll passel the shechita. So the Mordechai.
Then you cut the treif in between.
It breaks a leg, and then he shechts the miyud basra. So according to Rashi, the miyud basra is still part of the shechita. So it comes out that it was a treifa, it became a treifa in the middle of the shechita. You don't say it became a treifa after the shechita was finished. I say when he continues to shecht later, he's mamshech to do shechita, it became a treifa before he finished the shechita. So it'll be also bachila, big chiddush. So the Mordechai puts together these two Rashis. Mordechai says that this Rashi is like the other Rashi. That even after he shecht the kohen and neveshet, it's possible, he already finished the shechita. If you stop there, you're okay. The animal is kosher. But if you cut the spine, you continue to make it kigistero. Gistero is an expression in the Gemara. If you have earthenware cups and you crack it in half, so that's called the gistero. So the Gemara has a lotion up. Why? Because it's completely separated, completely cracked in half. So here, if you completely crack the neck of the animal, just check the connovation is still attached by the spine. If you cut all the way through, you even cut the spine, you made it kigistero, you cracked the neck and gansen, so that makes it an avela. Agroisa chidish. Shaila, whether we should baskin like this?
How does he finish with the shchita if the animal is still alive? If the animal is still alive, how is he finished with the shchita?
Because he did roif kan and roif veshet al pidin, that's all you have to do. You finished?
Even if the animal is still alive.
Yeah. There's a pasuk, lo soch lo al adam. And it's a difficult pasuk. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Saman Gimel, has five or six interpretations in the pasuk. So one of the levels of interpretation is you shouldn't eat flesh from an animal if it's still jumping around. Kodim shetetzi nafshi, you shouldn't eat. It's a separate isa. It's not an isa nevela. It's not a nevela. It's a separate isa lasoch la ladam. But strictly speaking, the shechita is over already. So that's a shaila. We are machmer for the other Rashi. If you do chalada b'miyud basra, you do shehiya b'miyud basra, we're machmer for that Rashi. So that's a shaila. According to that Rashi, this Rashi also makes sense. Are we machmer for this Rashi too? So that's what, before the Nazis killed all the Jews, so first they made life very difficult. So first they didn't allow the Ashkenazim in Europe had the practice that they didn't eat the hindquarters of the animals that they shechted because they didn't know exactly how to do nikur, how to remove the chelev, which chelev is asa, which chelev is muta. So half of every animal they wouldn't eat. So the Nazis were so concerned about the Tzar Balei Chaim, the Abachar Rachmanis on the behemoths, that you're causing them pain by shechting them. So the first they said the Jews are only allowed to shecht so many animals in proportion, like as many animals as the goyim would shecht. How many behemoths did the goyim shecht per person, whatever? For every 100 people, I don't know, they shecht one ox. So the Jews can only shecht one ox for 100 people. We shecht twice as many, because half of the animal we would need, because with Ashkenazim we don't take out the chelev. We sell the whole thing to the goyim. So that was one gzera that they made on the Jews. Okay, so many gdolim and mekel at that time, they said, so find out, learn from the Svardim how to do nikur, and do the nikur. So we'll only shecht according to our proportion of the population. We won't shecht as we always did, twice as many animals and not eat for nacharayim. We'll be menakar lechel. Then they came up with a new gzer, that there's less tzar balichayim if you do the shechita and you cut through the spine, that the animal will die mamish on the spot. So they insisted that all the Jews who practice shechita should cut the spine also. So that's what the Sridi Yesh lived in Germany at that time. Reb Chiel Weinberg lived in, he was in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. At that time, said it was a shaila that was negir to the Jews all over Europe at that time, because the Nazis were going to take over everything in Europe. And the shaila people would travel back and forth, can they eat the flesh or not? So he corresponded with many other rabbonim at that time. What's the din? So this was an issue. They were concerned that just like when Machma, like the Rashi, that Shia b'mirat basa, Chalada b'mirat basa, and Hagrama b'mirat basa, b'choshish for the Rashi's, you can have a psul shchita even after finishing the Rav Kan and the Rav Eshet. So the Mordechai says that this Rashi is l'shitasai. So they were concerned maybe we should be Machma for this Rashi as well. But then Rashi has another pshat, the Lola Shavuya Gistera. The second pshat in Rashi is, there is no such din, that if you continue to cut, you cut through the spine, make it an aveli, you already finished the whole shechita. What does cutting the spine have to do? If you break off the legs and you shoot the animal in the heart, that's not going to be a problem. So why should it be a problem if you continue to cut? So he says, no, the Lola Shavuya Gistera means you shouldn't do drasa. The Chamishel Cheshchita Shia Drasa Chalad Agrama V'Yikr. So the Gemara says, 4 out of the 5 are Gemara Gemirila, are Halacha L'moshe Misina, but drasa, that's Pshuta Shal Mikra, because the Lashem Vishachat, and Vishachat Dela Umashach, you should fiddle back and forth. That's the Mashmoz of the Lashem. So if you're going to take, you're going to lie down the cow on the earth, on the ground, flat on his back, you're going to take a knife, and instead of fiddling back and forth, you're going to cut down, place pressure like this, that's Pshutu Shal Mikra, that's Torah Shebichsav, that's no good. And the other 4, Halachal Moshe Messina, wouldn't sound like that in the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara. These details. No, these details that it has to, it says in the Midbar, we learned in the, towards Randaf Yutest of Yud Zayin. The Gemara said in the Midbar they only did Shechita on Karbonis. And when they wanted to eat Chulin, they did Nechira. Nechira Siman. When they crossed over the Yarden in the days of Yishu Ben Nun, then the dinim changed and you had to have Dafke a kosher Shechita.
So we still don't know the source of Shechita at this point.
We have to do Shechita in Eretz Yisrael after they crossed over the Yarden, and even after Golus from Eretz Yisrael also, the Gemara lined up in Psukim, the same way we always did it in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. So the Shachat, Rashi learns, the Shachat has the connotation of fiddling back and forth as opposed to placing pressure straight down. So Rashi learns the second Pshat Gistera means you shouldn't do Drosa. So that's Torah Shebichsav, that's Pshutu Shal Mikra. But you shouldn't do Shehiya, Chalada, Agrama, V'Ikra. The other 4, that's only Halacha L'Moshe Messina. These are the 2 Pshatim Rashi has. What does it mean, the Lola Shavuya Gistra? Means you shouldn't cut the spine? Cut the spine, make an Avela? Or no, you shouldn't cut Al Yedei Drasa. But Minatzavur, they don't like Rav Kana's Drash. Minatzavur is also Gemara. It's Halacha L'Moshe Messina. Rabbi Yemer is another Amora. So he has another pasuk. He thinks the mashmos of the pasuk is that you need shechita minatzar. Rabbi Yemer Amar, Omakra, the pasuk says, this of achto, that already, that's talking about shechitas chulin. The first pasuk that they quoted from Vayikra chapter Aleph, that's talking about shechitas karbonis. This pasuk says, when we'll come to Eretz Yisrael, cross over the Yarden, so it says, so what's the mashmos? Where do you see from the word v'zavachta that it's minat zavor? So he says v'zavachta memokem shezav chateihu. The word v'zavachta is a combination of 2 words, like Rav Kana said before. V'shochat is v'shoch chateihu. So v'zavachta is memokem shezav. If you cut the neck, it's going to gush forth a lot of blood. So that's ziva. Flowing of the dam from the neck, the memokem shezav chateihu. Then the Gemara says again, what did he mean when he used the verb chateihu? What in the world? It's not Hebrew, it's not Aramaic. Gemara says, yeah, it's biblical Hebrew. Nobody talks biblical Hebrew. It's a funny lashon. Frag the Gemara, what did he mean? My mashmat ay chateihu lishna the mizbahu means you should crack it over there. You should crack the neck over there. So gemara dichsim al tiro al techa. So chateihu means to crack the neck. So that's the mokah. Then you need shechita min atzava because v'zov vachto v'zov chateihu. The mokah shezov by the neck where the blood will flow out. Frag the gemara v'yema mechotmo. That means by the nose because the nose the animal always has a dripping nose. And for the gemara, no, you need zov ay dechita binan. It means it should flow, the blood should flow when you're going to break the neck. The hide, the nose, is always dripping. The animal is always dripping his nose. By zav mi'elavu. It has to be zav al yidei chateu, by cutting it. Okay. So maybe it means you stab the animal in the heart when the animal is walking around alive, so it's not going to bleed. Stab it in the heart, all the blood will gush out. That's better. So that's mimokim shezov chateyu. If you'll cut over there, it'll bleed together. V'su nochakashe v'osas to gfadint. What did you accomplish by giving aganse pshetl v'zov achto mimokim shezov chateyu that you need shechita menatzavur? How do you know all the other chal mishulcha shechita shia drasa chalad ragamar v'yikar min olon? What's the mocker? You're not going to find the mocker for all of those. Ella, the answer is Gemara. It's a tradition. So shechita minatzava nami Gemara. Everything is a tradition. So, but what about? But we had this whole mashmoes from the zovach to. It sounds like it's teaching us something. What's the mashmoes of this pasuk? So Gemara, what do you need this additional pasuk? If I know anyway, with halacha l'moshe misinai has to be minatzava. So what do you need a pasuk a mashmoes? That means the lola shavu yigistra. So again, the Rashi has the two pshat. Lola shavu yigistra means you shouldn't continue to cut through the spine. Cut through the spine, you make it an avela, even though you already finished the shchita. Or chateyu, or the lola shavu yigistra means you shouldn't do drasa. The drasa is a pshutu shal mikra. So you already have two drushes. And we're not so keen about either. That it means you don't need the psukim. It's all halacha moshe mesina. These were amaroim. Rav Kana, Rav Yema, amaroim. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tan and Rabbi Shmuel Zishiva. They had a brisa that touched on the same issue. The shachat al tikri v'shachat elav is shachat mimokim shesoch. The animals talk. The animals don't talk our language. The animal talks some kind of animal language. So mimokim shesoch by the neck, where it has the voice box, where it has the cords, the speaking cords, Mokm Shesach Chate, you should shecht the animal where it has the voice box. Shreg Digmar, oh, you have to shecht where it talks, so maybe it means you have to cut the tongue, the Ema Mil Shainai. Maybe you should cut the tongue, because the tongue helps in speaking as well. Ev Digmar Nein, you're going to cut the tongue, the animal is not going to bleed to death. The shachat was the pasuk in Vayikra chapter Aleph, that the purpose of shechting karbonis, shechita by karbonis is not so much to kill the animal. Shechita by the karbonis is to be mevarech el gavoya, to separate the dam that you're going to do the zrika. Shechita kabbalah halacha zrika of the dalar avodas hadam in all the karbonis. So the definition of shechita is to separate the dam that you're going to be zerik on the mizbech from the rest of the animal. You're going to cut the tongue, it'll bleed a little bit, but the animal is not going to bleed to death. You have to have dam shanashama yotzibov for the hakrovas hakarbonis. When you do zrikas adam on the mizbech, has to be dafke dam hanefesh v'leko. You cut the tongue, the animal's not going to die. Sagmar v'yema maybe means the core of the yozal adam hanefesh. Maybe you have to start from the tongue, and then you keep on cutting until you get to the neck, until you get to the heart. But maybe it means you should begin with the tongue. V'su nachakashe. What did Rabbi Shmuel accomplish by learning out from the posuk v'mok m'shesach chateyu? You have to do the shechita, that part of the animal that it speaks, the neck. How do you know she addressed a chalad or gamar v'yikar minolon? Ella, the answer is gemar. So what did he need? The pasuk, the shochat, the sochat, the makam shesoch. Again, the Gemara says all the three. Rav Kana, Rav Yemer, Tanabei, Rabbi Shmuel, all three, you don't really need it to teach me Minatzava. I know Minatzava because part of the Halacha L'Moshe Misina. The pasuk tells me, L'mayos L'Dodo Shavu Yigistra, with the two pshatim and Rashi, what that means. Shait. So we had two Amaroim, then we had Tana Debei Rabbi Shma. So now the Gemara says, the Tana, Maisi Lamehacha, there's a Tana, the last one was also a Tana. Tana Debei Rabbi Shma, Rabbi Shma's Yeshiva. I don't know why. So the Gemara says now, and the following Tana learns it out from the following pasuk. The Tanya, Rabbi Amar, Minayin l'shchita menatzava shenem avarchav. How do you know you're supposed to shech karbanis? He says by karban. How do you know shech from the neck? Because the pasuk says when you bring a carbon oil, you burn everything on the mizbech. When you bring a carbon chatas, you burn the chaylev on the mizbech. You sprinkle the dam on the mizbech. Then you burn the chaylev, and then the kohanim eat chatas and ashem. The kohanim eat and ashlamim the baile. Meat. Shlomim the chaz of a shoik you give to the Kohanim. But the boss of the baile meat. So here the pasuk is talking about a korban oil. They burn everything on the mizbech. So it says, you burn everything on the mizbech. It says, the head also. What's the chiddush? It says you oil is kula kula. You burn everything on the mizbech. Why is there a chiddush to head? So the answer is because the pasuk says after you shecht the oil, it doesn't say how you shecht. Maybe it means you cut off a leg. We know shechting means you detach the head. But before you know that, so the pasuk says you shecht the animal, then you do hefshet v'nituach. You have a korban oil, you don't take the whole animal and put it on the mizbech like this. It says v'nitachoisa lin socheha. You have to cut it up in specific pieces. And the Gemara says in the first parak we had, sugya v'roiv, v'loi nesocheha lin socheha. You can't keep on cutting it up to smaller pieces. There are specific, in the Mishnah in Yuma, the Mishnah in Tum, it tells you what are, how exactly do you cut up the korban oil. So it says you need hefshet, you have to remove the hide from the animal, then you do nituach. And after you do nituach, then you do haktora gabi mizbeach. One kohen brings this piece, the other kohen brings that piece. They had around 15 kohanim. Each kohen carried a different piece to put it on the mizbeach to do the haktora. So if you're going to say the shechita is by the neck, so the whole head is detached from the animal. And then it says you do hefshit, so the mashmah says you only do hefshit on the rest of the animal. Hefshit v'nituach, and then you maktir, you burn all the nesochim on the mizbech. And the rosh, which was detached at the time of shechita, you never did hefshit, and you never do nituach, so maybe you don't do haktorah. So that's why I need a pasuk that says no. The Ocha Ben Aaron Kohanim is Hanasochim, Es Arosh Es HaPoder. It says the Ocha Es Hanasochim. It says the Kohanim should do Haktor. All the Avodas have to be done by Kohanim. Shechita is Lav Avodah. The Bailam can do. You don't have to be a Kohen to do the Shechita. But the Kabbalah Halacha Zvikan Haktor is all Avodas HaKohanim. It has to be done by Kohanim. So it says the Ocha Ben Aaron HaKohanim is Hanasochim. They should place all of the pieces of the oil on them in such a way that it should burn. As a roish ve'es ha-poder. Shein Talmud Oima. Why does it have to say a roish ve'es ha-poder? Ma Talmud Oima say a roish ve'es ha-poder. V'halo roish ve'poder v'chalal kol ha-nesach ma'av. It says they burn everything on the mizbech. The answer is Lama Yotzu. Why does the pasuk have to mention explicitly you do haktar, you burn the roish and the poder. Fish and ember v'hivshet tesoy l'v'nitach. You do hefshet v'nituach. You do the hefshet v'nituach after you did shechita. So the pshat in the shechita is it's menatzavor, so the head is detached. So you're only going to do hefshet on the rest of the animal, not on the roish. And then you're going to do nituach on that part that you did hefshet, and then you mark to the emurim. So I would have thought that the roish, which never had a hefshet, you don't have to burn it on the mizbech. You only burn that part that had a hefshet v'nituach. Tishinam hefshet tesoila v'nitach. You do hefshet v'nituach. Ein li'al nesochim. The rest of the animal sheyesh the mechalal hefshet. Though that part of the animal that you remove the hide, you don't burn the hide on the mizbech. You give the hide to the kohanim. They're allowed to have anor. Minay the rabbis of sarosh kvar hutas. How do you know you have to burn the haktorah on the mizbech? You even have to burn the head. Tamalay mes roshav es pidroi liorach. So what do you see? The Bryce says he already detached the head from the rest of the animal. That's why there would have been a havamina that you don't have to do a haktorah on the rosh, because hefshet v'nituach is in order to do haktorah, and there is no hefshet v'nituach on the rosh. Why is it not? Because the rosh was detached when you did the shechita. So that's the mocker, the fact that the pasuk writes explicitly tani repriya. Rabbi Chia says you can figure out from this pasuk that shechita is menatzavar, because when you do the shechita, the head is detached. Now, maybe you're never going to do hefshet v'nituach on the head, only on the rest of the animal. So that's why I need a pasuk to repeat the fact that you have to do haktorah on the rosh. Mechlal the shechita menatzavar. Shain, that's a nice brayson. So now the Gemara is just going to comment on the brayson. The Bryce is started off by quoting one pasuk in Vayikra chapter Aleph, then it concludes by quoting a different pasuk. The both psukim say the same thing. Not only do you burn the entire oil, kulo kolo, the Kohanim don't need anything, and the Bala carbon doesn't need anything. Everything is burnt on the Mizbeach. The first, including the Rosh and the Poder. So the first pasuk, the Bryce is started off, Yorcha ben Aaron Kohanim san Sochim, Es HaRosh ve'es HaPoder. Then the Bryce concludes by quoting the pasuk, Es Rosho ve'es Pidro v'yorach. That's a different pasuk. So the Gemara asks, and the Bryce said, why did he switch in midstream? Why did he switch quoting psukim? Freg the Gemara, where is it? About six lines from the bottom of the Omen. Freg Gemara, the Raya is a good Raya. Rabchia proof in the pasuk that shchita is menat zavor, and that's why I need a pasuk. I need an additional pasuk to say you burn the rosh. Freg the Gemara aber v'tane. This brayser Rabchia pasach beroshu pader. He quoted first one pasuk. Baruch ben Aaron kohen misarosh es anasach misarosh ves apader. When he gets to the punchline, he quotes a different pasuk that says the same thing, that you burn es rosho v'es pidro. Why did he quote the both psukim? To say, the both psukim say the same thing? That not only they burn the rest of the animal, where there was hefshed v'nituch, even the head also. But it's a question on the Chumash. Why does the Chumash repeat the same thing twice? And a question on the Tana. The Tana is just trying to prove shechita menat zavor. So why did the Tana quote two different psukim to prove his point? The both psukim say the same thing. So the Gemara says, the Braisa has to be interpreted like this. Ochi Kama. The Gemara has five lines from the man. Ochi Kama. Pshat is like this. Minay le rabbis is a rosh ekrahutas. How do you know that not only do you have to do haktore on the bulk of the animal that had hefshet v'nituach, even the head that doesn't have hefshet and doesn't have nituach, he still have to be makterid. Tamalama es a rosh ves hapoder. I wouldn't need the other pasuk. Roshah pidro lamali. Why does the Chumash repeat that phrase? I already know. The Gemara says that I need for a different halacha. The boiler the kiditanya, that the proper way. From the one pasuk, I know you have to burn the head, even though it has no hefshet v'nituach. The pader is certain sections of chelav, the neck. When you're going to put the head on the mizbech, it's going to be all full of blood by the neck. So it's going to be meluchlach bedam. So it's a bloody mess. So it's not the kvod shamayim to put the head on the mizbech just like this. Everybody's standing in the base. I mean, you're going to see this bloody head. So the pasuk says you should put the pod there on top of the neck, which is the bottom of the rosh, so that it shouldn't be so noticeable that it's a meluchlach bedam. As Rosh of Espidroi Lomali, what does that pasuk teach me? Maboyla the Kiditanya. Minayin the Rosh HaPadosh Shikait Melechol HaNesach. When you do the Haktorah, does it make a difference what you mark the first? You have to be marked to everything anyway. So the Bryce says, no, the Rosh and the Pada have to come first. Tamalom Es Rosh Ovi Es Pidro Ovi Arach. First you mark the Rosh and the Pada, and then you mark to everything else. And why does the Pada take precedence? Pada Kama Dikas Rahmana Lomali. The Rosh and the Poder should come first. Okay? But in the first pasuk, what does it say, Poder? The Poder is part of the bottom part of the animal. The Rosh was Hutaz. So he said the first time it says, as a Rosh was a Poder, I would have thought you don't need Haktor on the Rosh because it didn't have Hefshet Vinituch. But the Poder is part of the lower part of the animal that does have Hefshet Vinituch. That you mark the Rosh and Pada first, that I know from the second phrase in the pasuk. Es Rosho ves Pidro. But what do you need in the first pasuk that's telling me the Chiddush? That you do Haktor on the Rosh, even though there's no Hefshet v'nituach. So why does it have to say over there, Pada? The answer is that the Pada should cover up the bottom of the Rosh. It shouldn't be a busha. The Kiditanya, Ketzeroise, how do you mark it? Chofes HaPada, Albeis HaShchit, Amale, Abzedach, Kavod Shal Mailo. To cover up the neck that he shouldn't see all the blood. Sure. So we had two Amoraim, then you had two Tanoim. Each one gave a mocker. Some of the Makaris were a little Mechudishdik, reinterpreting phrases, and this one was normal. The Tana Rabchia has a good pasuk that Shchita is Menat Tzavar. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'hai Tana, on the fourth line from the top of Chof Zainam and Beis, and the following Tana, Maisei Lo Mehocha, he derives that in Shchita Menat Tzavar from the following Mocker. Zostaros HaBehem B'Vahov, the Chumash says, it's in the middle of Ayikra, that there's such an institution as Tumas Nevela. So, Behem of a Chaya, if it's a Chaya, Behem of Torah, Chaya Torah, so it depends whether it died a natural death, then it has Tumas Nevelas, Tamei B'Magam Emasa. And then Odom is Metame B'Magam Emasa Ba'ochel, and whoever touches it is Tamei a minimum of 7 days. If you touch a Nivlas Behema, you pick up a piece of meat in the AMP, so you're not Tamei for 7 days. And it's not Metame Ba'ochel, it's only Metame B'Mago or B'Masa. Either you touch it, or if it's wrapped up, you're not touching it, so if you pick it up, so that's called Masa. But if you push it, that's also called Masa, like that. So it's Metame B'Magam Emasa. What about Oif? What if it's a Behema Tmeya? Let's say it's a horse, it's a donkey, it's a pig. pig, so then it doesn't make a difference whether he did shechita, he died a natural death. Shechita is not chal on a horse and on a donkey, on a mule. Shechita is only chal on a behemoth tohir. So the Chumash writes the dinim of tumas nevela by behemoth v'chaya. If it's a nevela, it's tome. Nevela means it never had a shechita. And if it's a behemoth tmeya, by definition, it never has a shechita, even if he did a shechita. And then it has the dinim of nivlas ha'oif. Nivlas ha'oif tohir is only metame abeis ha'bliya when you swallow it. When you touch it, when you move it, it's not metame. Not b'maga, not b'masa, only metame when you swallow it. So the pasuk writes as if everything is all in the same boat together. B'chod ha'machta. Zos taras ha'behema v'ha'of. These are the dinim for tumas nivlas behema and nivlas oif. Feg diktane v'chi be'ezet toira shops a behema lo oif, oif le behema. In what way are they the same? This is the din for the nivlas behema and nivlas oif. It's not the same. Behema metame b'maga b'masa oif and metame b'maga b'masa. It's not metame b'maga. Oif metame b'godama be'es ha'bliya. If you swallow nivlas oif tohar, so not only do you become tame, the clothing that you wear become tame also. But behema v'chaya, not metame b'godama be'es ha'bliya. When you swallow it, what do you mean when you swallow? I pick up a piece of nivlas behema and I put it in my mouth. So when I picked it up, it's ready metame me. Either b'maga or b'masa. So Rashi explains, no, someone else was tochav. Someone else takes a kazayis of nivlas behem and he puts it in my mouth. So I never did mago masa. When it's in my mouth, it's not betam because it's balua. Beis hastorim, balua. There's no maga beis hastorim. So the Bryce is asking, how does the pasuk write together? This is the din for behema of the oif. The dinim are not the same. So story sounds like it's all together, all in the same boat together. It's not at all in the same boat. Behema is metame magmas, oif is not metame. Oif is metame abeis habliya, metame b'godim, and nivlas behema and nechay is not metame. So in what way are they similar? Yeah. Beis Torah shops the behem love where they similar both the behem aloy malach oh ma behem b'shchita afoif b'shchita just like it says v'shachat as ben abokar v'zavachta kasher tzivisil chiyap teshecht. It only says you have proper shchita by behem. So this pasuk is putting together. We thought originally zostars behem follows the parshios of tumas nivlas behem nivlas oif. So they thought the pasuk is making zostar achas. It's the same dinim for behem chayviyav. All the same. It's not the same hilchas tuma. What it means is it's the same in hilchas shchita. Just like behema v'chaya need shchita, so oif also need shchita. The same kind of shia josa chalad agama v'ikar also need shchita. The pasuk says you wanted to know, but does it say shchita by oif? So it says there's a din of kisi hadam if he shecht an oif, but it could mean. Maybe in the Tosis asked before, how can there be a Tana? The Gemara is going to quote, there's a Tana who's of the opinion that Shechita Soif is only Midi Rabbanan. I mean, so on the level of the Raisa, if you have a chicken dies a natural death, you're allowed to eat it. So there's no institution of Nivla Soif Tohar Metame Abeis Abliya if there's no Din of Shechita. So Tosis said on Daf Chof, no, everybody agrees and you need Nechira Simanim in Atzava. If the Oif is Mesa Meileho, then it's going to be an Avela. You have to have someone has to kill it. But the shaila is, what if a goy shechts the oif? Is that going to be in the veil? If you'll shoot the oif and it'll die, that l'chol ha'deis that'll be in the veil. But what if a goy will cut it? Let's say a Jew will cut, he'll take a saw and he'll cut off the neck. He'll be in violation of shia drasa chalada grama v'ikir. He uses a sack and peguma. So if you hold the shchita law of menat Torah, so all the laws of shchita carry over from behema v'chaya to oif. So goy shechts the oif is going to be an avela mederaisa. And if you're going to shecht with a sack and peguma, it'll be an avela mederaisa. So if you hold the shchita law of menat Torah, you do need nechira simanim. But nechira is zoi shchitasa. So if a goy will cut off the neck, it'll be kosher menat Torah. With the Rabbanan, you need all the Hilcha Shechita Bayoif, but not Menat Torah. So that's going to be the Machlekes HaTanaim. So this first Braisa is of the opinion, first Braisa is of Ma Behema B'Shechita, Avoif B'Shechita. Just like we have Psukim B'Shochat as Ben Abok, you have to have a proper Shechita, so Oif also needs. If you're going to say that it's put together, Zos Taras HaBehema V'Hoif, put it together, Ima L'Halam B'Roif Shnayim, Afkan B'Roif Shnayim? Really? You have to shecht both the Kohen and the Beish by the Oath. It's not the same. So it's not Shoveh. Why does the Pasuk say, Zos Taras HaBehema V'Chaya, that it's Shoveh? No. It's shava that you need shchita min atzavar, but you don't need shnei siman. Why? Because it says zos. Zos taras habeima, this and only this. The shnei simanim is only by the beima, doesn't apply to the oaf. So that's the first tana. First tana is of the tanakama holds that shchita loaf is min atorah, and shnayim boaf and echad bebeima. And Rabbi Blazer, the Brisa quotes, Rabbi Blazer disagrees. Blazer Torah shavs behem loaf yof lebehema. He holds for keret. Not that you're learning out, just like a behema needs shchita, so too an oif needs shchita. No, he's learning out. It says in the Chumash, how do you deal with oilos oif or a chatas oif? So he spent a lot of time in the end of the first parak about the malika. You have to do malika by oilos oif. Malika, you shech, the coin has to shech with his nail from the right hand. Dafke b'mchuber. Nail, if you shech tchulin with a fingernail, it's psula, because that's shchita b'mchuber. You have to chulin, you have to shech dafke with a knife. And malika by kochim, if you shech with a knife, it'll be posel. That was the Mishnah we had. Kochim b'malika, posel b'shchita, and kochim b'shchita is posel b'malika. Shchita has to be dafke with the sakin that's tolish, and malika has to be dafke b'mchuber. So, how do you do malika? You have to do malika by the neck. That's the mocker that shchita is menatzavar. Because the Torah says that malika sa, Torah tells you how to do malika by chata soif and oil soif. You use your fingernail to shech by the neck. So zos taras habehem v'vaha oif, just like the oif, the malika is done by the neck, so too behema. I know that the shchita is menatzavar because it's hukash to the oif. That's Rabbi Lezer holds, faket from the first tana.
Malika back in the neck, you win?
Yeah, that if you do for the shechita from the back of the neck, it'll be nevela. It's no good. So he's going to learn everything out from the psukim, I think. Let's see. Rabbi Lezer, everything is farker. Beis the Torah shavs the behemah liyof, you have the behemah. The dinim are not the same. As far as tumah, the dinim are not the same. No, lo malach. Ma'ifach sher menat sabor. Where do you see that? By malika, by chata soif, by ola soif. Abehemach sher menat sabor. Ay, malahalam emul orf, you shech from the back, and you shech first the spine. You're going to take a knife and shech the chul. From the spine, it'll be an avela, it'll be a trefa. Avkami mulor, maybe a shecht from the back. No, tamaloma umolakas rosha mi mulor po. Vilayav the rosha shalze. Rosh Hashanah mi mularv and Rosh Hashanah mi mularv. Only by the oil soif and the chata soif, you do malika backwards, but when you're shechting chulin, where the chickens or you're shechting behemoths, has to be from the front. So it's a. So the both Tanoim say Zos Taras Abhem Bevehoif Torachas, equating, doesn't mean that they have the same dinim for Tuma. This pasuk appears after all the parshas of Tuma. The Tuma are totally different. This Metame Beis Ablia, this Metame Bagamasa, the dinim are totally different. Zos Taras Abhem Bevehoif goes to equate them in Hilcha Shchita. But the Tanakama says you're learning from Shchita's Behema to Shchita Saif. And the Reb Lezer, the next Tana says Faket, you learn from Malika Saif to Shchita's Behema, then it should be Menatzav. Feg the Gemara, the Tanakama darshan something from the word Zois is a miyut zos below acheres zos taras habeim bevehoif zos is a miyut. Hi zos my avidle. What is he memayit? The way he gave a presentation, he's not learning out anything from Tanakam. Learned that zos that by off you don't need shnei simon. But according to Rabbi Lezer, what does he use the miut of his zois? And for the Gemara, if not for that miut, he lab zos, havamina ma oif b'simen echad, habeima b'simen echad, kasrachman a zos, only by oif, the malika is enough, shchita of an oif is one simen, by beim you need both simen. So Rabbi Lezer uses the word zos to distinguish between behema and oaf, that the behema you have to shecht two simonim, and the oaf is good enough if he shecht simon echon. And then the Gemara quotes, Tani bar kapar, bar kapar was also a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Anasi. Tani bar kapar, he composed brises, zos taras habehem b'vaha oaf, and then it says, v'chol achaya, what's the rest of the pasuk? Zos tar, Rashi fills in the rest of the pasuk. Where is the rest pasuk? Vayikra Yud Aleph. Already forgot what's the end of the pasuk. Vayikra Yud Aleph. That's the next to the last pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Has about Nivlas Behema, has about Nivlas Oif, all the dinim, then it, next to the last pasuk. Zos taras ha-behema v'ho v'chol nefesh ha-chayo ha-rameses ba-moyim, chol nefesh ha-sheretzes al-hor. So first it says, these are the dinim. So the Gemara interprets, Zos taras terachas doesn't go on the tumah. The tumahs are totally different. Zos taras goes on the shechita. So it mentions Behema, Oif, and fish. Chaya harameses b'moyim. What's that seder? First behema, then oaf, and then fish. So Bar Kapora has a comment. Tony Bar Kapora, he made a comment. So staras habehema v'hoaf. Hit lakos of la'oaf. Behem behema l'dogim. The third one mentioned in the pasuk is a chaya harameses b'moyim. How does it say? L'chaya nefesh ha'chaya harameses b'moyim. That's fish. So why does the oaf placed in the chumash in between the behema and the fish? L'chaya b'bishneisim. How many simonim do they have to shecht on the oaf? L'chaya b'bishneisim on him. To be required to shecht the kona and the veshed of the chicken. You can't say that. Shvak hukash l'dogim. Because the oaf is written next to the fish, which don't need any shchit at all. L'frocho b'loy klum. To say you don't need shchit at all, like fish, you don't need any shchit at all. Just take it out. Just take it out of the water. The Beis Yosef quotes Rav Sadia Gaon. They quote the name Rav Sadia Gaon. If a goyish fisherman takes it out of the water, it's no good. Because the dogim, it says, Ba'asifa. The pasuk says, and called the Gei Hayam Yosef Lahem, Amotza Lahem. So since it says Asifa, so just like the shechita of a chicken and a behemah has to be done by a Jewish shechet, so the asifa, the catching the fish from the river, has to be done by Jews. So we don't accept that opinion. We are mekel. We eat fish that were caught by non-Jews as well. You don't have any of the hilchos shechita. So the
have to be the shmo also. The catching of the fish would have to be the shmo.
Nah, the shechita doesn't have to be the shmo. We had the Gemara. The guy throws a knife to hit a target, and then a chicken happens to walk by, and he succeeds in shechting the chicken. We paskin and is good. By karbonis, you have to have shechita lishma. All the avodas have to be lishma. By shechita schuna, you don't need lishma. Shechita in a tzicha kavana, yeah. So this is what Bar Kapara has a comment. Why does the Chumash put Shechitas Oaf in between Shechitas Behema and Dogim? Hit lakas of love behema l'dogim. L'chai v'bishnei simon in the afshe. He can't say you have to shecht kona and the veshet by chickens because it's hukash l'dogim. L'frocha b'loi klum to say that you don't have to have Shechita at all on the chickens like on the fish. Yefshir. You can't say that. Shehukash l'behema. Okay, so how do you make a compromise over here? It's in between behema and fish. Behema needs two simon. Fish needs zero. Okay, so what's the yin? Tachshir b'simen echad. Shai. You only have to shecht one simon. Freg di gemara and pray tell, how do you know that premise? That fish don't need any Shechita at all? How do you know that? How did you know that assumption? That the fish don't need any shchit? If you should say because of the pasuk that says in Chumash, but they all were complaining. They wanted food to eat. So the Rabbanu Shel Olam said, tell them there's going to be man, there's going to be slav. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's shishim riba, people, there's how many people? How is it possible to have food? Which caterer is going to come up with 600,000 portions for the men between the ages of millions of people out there? How is that possible? So Moshe Rabbeinu says, im called the gei hayam yosa, atzona bok yoshocha lehem, im motza lehem, im called the gei hayam yosa lehem, im motza lehem. You're going to have to shecht so many chickens and catch so many fish? It's impossible. So the Baruch Shalom says, don't worry about it. I'm going to cause a miracle. There's going to be man. There's going to be slav. So the Pasuk writes, Hatzon Abok Yishochet Lehem Amotza Lehem Im is called Digei Ayam Yosef Lehem. So you see, Asifa B'Yalma, by the Tzon Abok uses the verb, Moshe Rabbeinu used the word Yishochet Lehem. You see, Nitzchit on Tzon Abok. And by the fish, Digei Yosef Lehem. Freg the Gemara, is that true? Whenever it has a Loshen Yei Yosef, it means you don't need Hilcha Shechita. He just catch it and shine elamiyat gabislav. Slav is foul. Nichsiv bayasvus haslav. It also has the same verb. Lasof achanamidalav b'shchita. What do you mean that the slav didn't need any shchita? It just said before he needs simin echad. V'armet, you just said a line before the vachu b'lei klum. You have shishvagush lebeima. You need shchita simin echad. So why is it By the fish, it says, so they say the usage of the verb yeyosef has the connotation that you don't need shchita at all, even simin echad. And the verb vayasvas haslav, by the fowl, the slav, there you don't say that it means you don't need shchita at all. Everything more, no, it's not the same. Here, when Moshe Rabbeinu is tining zechayis to the Rabbeinu Shlom, he says, together, Hatzana Baki Shochet Lehem Amatzalem, it's called the Gayayam Yosef Lehem Amatzalem. He uses a verb, Yishochet Hatzana Bokar, and in contrast, he uses a verb, Yosef, by the fish. So in contrast to Yishochet, you see the fish don't need Shchit. That pasuk says, Vayasvas Haslov. It's not in contrast to Shchit. Vayasvas Haslov, they gathered the slav, and then they shechted it. That's what the Gemara ends. Awesome. By this love, laksiva sifa mokam shchita. It's not in contrast to shchita with respect to shchita d'achrin. It's not in contrast to shchita on a different animal. Abahacha, by the contrast between the dogim and the tzona baka, ksiva sifa mokam shchita d'achrini. By the tzona baka or by the other animals, that shchita d'achrini, it says yishochit lahem. And by this love, and by the dogim, it says yosef. So that's the raya that asifa b'yam. We assume not like the Rav Sadiga. We assume asifa does not have to be done by a Jew. If a goyish fisherman catches it, it's also mutter. So now the Gemara quotes, Dorash Oiver Gili Lo. Who is this Atana? I don't know. But his name was Oiver, and he came from Galil. That's what it sounds like. A funny name. He was from Galil. So he's explaining time of the Krua. He's explaining how come by Behemi you need two simon, and how come by Yof one simon is enough, and how come by fish you don't need anything. So he says because Behemi has more chiyus than birds, and fowl have more chiyus than fish. Why is that true? Because Behemis, when they were created in Sheshes Mei Bereshis, were created from Min HaYabosha, from the sand. He's explaining why the halacha is like that. The animals were created in Sheshes Mei Bereshis. First, the Rabbanu Shalom made Yesh Me'ayin. And then he made everything Yesh Me'ayin. He took, it says, Hashem took offer min hadam and made Adam Rishon. And he took offer from the Yabosha, and he made the behemis and the chayis. So it has more of a behem and chay has more of a chiyus. So achsheir b'shnei simon. In order to take away the chiyus, to kill the animal, you have to shech both the kohen and the vesh. Dogim shenivro min amayim, achsheir mevaloi klum. Fish have such a flimsy chiyus. They were made from water. Water is not a solid thing, so you don't even need shchita at all. And of shenivra min arekek, the ofos were created from a muddy substance, so it's a little bit watery and it's a little bit dry sand. Because the of is halfway in between the behemah and the fish. The behemah was created min ha'ofer, and the fish were created min amayim. And the fowl were created min harekek. Rekek means from the mud, muddy substance. So that's why that's simin echen and so on. Omer Rab Shmuel Kaputko Teda, I'm going to prove that is correct. That what? That the birds are halfway in between fish and chaya, behem and chaya. When you look at the legs of the chickens, it has like scales on it. It has scales on it. So it's halfway in between fish and other animals. So he was explaining the reasons for the din.
Mr. McCarthy knows
what
to say. There was some sort of evolutionary process.
Well, here it doesn't say it was evolutionary process. Yeah.
Birds still have some fish-like quality.
Yeah, the halfway in between. No, Gemara says halfway in between fish and animals.
Reptiles are
what?
Reptiles are in between, but we don't have any closure.
Okay. Shoin. So the question is, how does he know that's true? That the ofos were nivru min harekek. He makes a statement. How do you know it's true? So the next passage is going to give the background for that assumption, that the fowl and sheshes mei breshes were created from muddy substance. So they're quoting this from a longer passage. Rashi gives you the background. In B'choris Daf Hei, Omed Aleph, Rashi says that there was a Goyeshe Kuntarikon, a Hegmon, that's his name, Kuntarikon, Punta Rican, and he was a governor of part of Eretz Yisrael, and the chief rabbi at that time was Rabban Gamliel. Rabban means our rabbi, Rabbeinu. The chief rabbi is called Rabban, Rabban Yechem and Zakai. If you have smicha, you call Rebbe. And if you're a chief rabbi, they call him Rabban. So there's a long brisa there in Pchoiris where it says, V'od Shalo, another question, Kuntarikan, a hegemon, the Goyish governor, asked the chief rabbi. He asked him, there seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim and the chumash about Bereshis. For that pasuk in Bereshis chapter 1, it sounds like the fowl were created. Means sea animals, fish and sea animals should develop from the water. And the birds should develop from the water. In the beginning he created Yesh Mayayin, but now by the time he made the fish and the fowl, that's already Yesh Mayayin. So it sounds like the fowl were created from water. Alma Miyara. And then you have another pasuk in Bereshis chapter 2, where it says, the other pasuk in chapter 2 in Bereshis sounds like it says that the birds, all the fowl, were created from the sand, from the earth, not from the water. It's a contradiction. So Rabbi Gamliel, chief rabbi, answered to the guy, Amalo, they're both true. Vinarekik Nivru. It was a mixture of sand and water, and it was muddy substance. And that's what this Eirigali law was explaining. Why do you need Shchita Shnei Simanim Ben Behema? And fish, you don't need anything. In Oifis, you need Simanechem, because the Behema was created from Behema, and Chai was created from Ofer and Adoma, so it has a stronger Chis. Whatever is created from water has a flimsy Chis. You don't need any Shchita at all, Asifa. And the fowl was created in Arekik, so that assumption, Eirigali law's assumption, is based on what Rabbi Gamliel answered the guy. The question is, this answer that he gave the guy, is this a real answer? Or just the guy was pestering him, so he gave materials, but it's not really true. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Gamliel ra'a talmidim mistaklim zeh b'zeh. They were looking at each other. What did the Rebbe tell the guy? A crazy answer. That the birds were created. In Arek, Yikom Elohim, Kosh Benechem, Shadach, Kosh Benechem, you're not happy, Shadach, Isias, Oivi, this guy, Kontarika, the guy, Bikash, I pushed him away with a straw. I gave him a bubba mice. I gave him a silly answer. The real answer to the stiras apsukim is the following. Really, min hamayim nivru. The birds were not created min arekik. What I told the guy is bubba mice. The birds were created min hamayim. That's the truth. And the other pasuk that says, v'yitzah Hashem Elokim min ha'adam kol chayis ha'asad v'skolof ha'shamayim. You're stopping in the wrong place there. That you're reading a half a pasuk. Don't read it like that. Hashem created min ha'adama all the chayis and all the yifes. No, Hashem took all of the chayis that He created min ha'adama and the yifes that He created min ha'mayim, and he brought them all to Adam Rishon. That Adam Rishon should give them all a name. But it doesn't. You shouldn't read that second pasuk in Bereshis chapter base. That He created the oifus also min hamayim. No, the oifus were created, what is it? Li'olam, fakert. Li'olam min hamayim nivru. Again, the oifus were created min hamayim. And the other pasuk that says, it was created min adama, that min adama only goes on the chayis, and the behemoth and the chayis. And it says oifus, not that they were created min adama. He brought the behemoth and the oifus to Adam Rishon to give them all names. That's the real pshat. V'lem hevien al adam likros lahem shem. Shem. So you have two versions of how he farenfed the psukim. One version, he told the goy, litchosa bikash, the goy thought there's a steer, so he said, the teretz is both psukim are true. But when he told the talmidim, so the talmidim didn't think that was true, so he said, yeah, but I told the goy it's not the truth. The correct answer is, the oifus we really created min amayim, not min arekek. And the other pasuk doesn't mean to say at all that they were created min hadam. It means he brought them to Adam Rishon.
Why didn't he tell the guy the right answer?
I don't know. He thought the guy wouldn't like the true answer. He thought the guy would go for the Narisha answer better. Got the Narisha cup, and he thought the guy would like the second answer better. The Yeshomrim Beloshen Achet. The Yeshomrim, and another version has it, everything fakert. He told the guy, That answer. And then the Talmidim are looking. That's how you read the pasuk. They told him, no, the Talmidim, the true answer is Menarekek Nivru. The second version has everything faket. The Yeshomim, Boloshan, Acher, Ramalos, Hegmon. What he told the Talmidim, according to the first version, that's what he told the Goy Kuntarikan. Boloshan, Arishan, and the way the first version, according to the first version, what he told the Goy, Omelahem, the Talmidim, Shem. Why did he think that's more correct? That ben arekek, mishum dechsev al vayitzer. It says vayitzer Hashem lekim min adama kol chayes hasad b'skolof Hashemayim. Sounds like vayitzer min adama goes both on the oaf and on the behemoth. So that's why he said ben arekek. So the two versions, which is the correct pshat in this, there is a stiras apsukim, which is the correct answer, which is the tchia bekash. He told the goy the tchia bekash, and he told the talmidim the authentic answer. So what do we have so far? So far, okay, so the Gemara says we have so many, Rashi has one pshat, gistera, there may be drossa, that you're not allowed to shech by going like this, you have to fiddle back and forth. That could be that's Torah Shebichzad, maybe that's pshuta shal mikra, or maybe gistera means not to cut the spine. Maybe that'll make it an avela. Chiddush, the two pshatim and Rashi. And then you need shchita minat sabar. Fine. And the Gemara had over here that shchita la'of minat Torah. The Tanakama of Rab Lezer in his brisa commented on the pasuk next to the last pasuk in Parsha Shmini. Zos Torah habeim v'ha'oif. Sounds like Torah achas lebeim and of that they both need shchita. That shchita loif is menater, and this Tana disagrees. The following Tana: Omer Rabbi Yehuda is an Amora. Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas. Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas was a Tana. Mishum means he didn't hear from him directly. He heard. He said over in the name of. When it said, if it would have said Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas means that he heard it directly. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Marav. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul. So Rabbi Yehuda heard directly from Rabbi Shmuel. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yitzchak ben Pinchas. He says in the name of the Tana. Ein shchita loif menater. Shchita by oifus is only made the rabbanim. So that's what we had the Tosis on Daf Chav. How can it be? But there is an institution of Nivla Seif Tohar. There's no Shechita Lof Menator. How do you have a Nivla Seif Tohar? They said, no, Nechira Simanim is needed. If the bird dies by itself, or you shoot it, then it dies, you choke it, then it'll be an Avela. But if you take a saw and you cut off the neck, Nechira Simanim is good Menator. And if a Goy shechts it, it'll be good Menator. So that's what this mandama disagrees. The Tanakhama of Rabbi Lezer and the Brisa before said Zos Taras Abahema Bahoif, that there's a hekesh, that even Shchita Loif is Menatoira, and this Tana disagrees. Where is it? Nachamol Ein Shchita Loif Menatoira Shenemar B'Shofach Hezdama V'Chiso Ba'Ofer B'Shvicha B'Yal Masag. That says by Kisei Adam. When you shecht Chay B'Yof, when you shecht the Behema, you don't need any Kisei Adam. But when you shecht turkeys, or you shecht chickens, or you shecht Chayas, so then there's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So it says V'Shofach Hezdama V'Chiso Ba'Ofer. It says V'Shofach. So V'Shofach is a B'Shvicha B'Yal Masagi. You don't need the all Hilcha Shchita. In fact, the Gemara, wait a minute. But that pasuk goes both on Of and on Chaya. You need Kisei Adam says Isha Sheyishchat Chaya Of V'Shofach Hezdam V'Chiso Ba'Ofer. So you say the word V'Shofach has the connotation you don't need all Hilcha Shchita. So then it comes out that a Chaya also does need. That for sure is wrong. Beim of a Chaya for sure need all Hilcha Shchita min HaTorah. Hachi. If they say the word V'Shofach has such a connotation, Chaya Nami shouldn't require all the chomish al cheshchita, and for the Gemara, no. Iskish al psula hamigdoshim. No, it's put together when you have a carbon shahuman venivde, that's called psula hamigdoshim. There's no pidyon to a carbon. Kolzman that it's sholim, or if it has a mum oiver. But if it develops a mum kavua, then the Torah says it has pidyon. What do you do after you paid it? So it says you have to shecht it, and you can eat it katzvi b'chayol. So it's iskish techaya. Tzvi is a deer, and ayol. Ayol is a behemoth, but ayol is a gazelle. Ayol is not the same as ayol. So iskish lipsula megdoshim. The chayas are compared to psula megdoshim. They need shchita. Frag the Gemara, oif nami iskish lebehem dechsib zostars abehem v'hoif. And the Gemara then it says v'shofach. Frag maichos, how do you know? You have a contradiction. You say, the pasuk says, zostars abehem v'hoif, that there's a hekesh between the two, and then you have the other pasuk v'shofach hasdamo, has the connotation of either chaya or oaf does need shechita. So how did you know to split? He say chaya does need all the hilchos shechita and oaf doesn't need. How do you know that v'shofach has the connotation of not requiring shechita? Or my chazis, how do you know the shad yelei al oif? He say that oif doesn't need shechita min atar, it's only midrabbanan. Shad yei achaya. And for the gemara, mistavrim shum de salik min. The psu can read better like that. So that's the machloikas hatanoim, where the shechita loif is min atar midrabbanan. So now the gemara, what's the difference halacha l'maisa? Let's say a guy takes a knife and he takes a saw and he cuts off the head of the bird. So either it's also b'achila manatar, it's also b'achila midrabbanan. But bottom line, it's the same thing. It's also b'achila. So what's the difference halacha l'maisa? The difference will be for kisui hadam. The mitzvah of kisui hadam only applies if you did a shechita kshera. So what if you did a shechita? You took a saw and you cut off. A saw is full of pegimus. The whole thing is full of pegimus. So if you need shechita, men atoira and pegimus are no good. So that chicken is in a veila and there's no mitzvah of kisui hadam. But if menatara ain't shechita lof menatara, the chira simanim is good enough. So he did a kosher shechita midirabbanan, you're not allowed to eat it. But why should they pat you from doing kisi adam? You should still have to do kisi adam. It's a mitzvah menatara, you should still do kisi adam. So the Gemara says, well, it's enough in the Mishnah later. Meisvei, it says, ashechem in a snabla biyodai, a person shecht sounds like chai viof. Chai viof, they both need kisi adam. So if you shechted an animal and you made it in a vela, hanoicher, he took a saw and he cuts off the neck. Hamaakir, he yanks out the kana neveshit. Potem alachasas. Frag the Gemara, why? You're talking, it sounds like they're both in the same boat together, the chai and the yof. V'i amrit, den shechit alof menatar, and the chiros is always shechit also, the boy, kisui. Why don't you need kisi adam? True, midirabbana, they were machmi, you're not allowed to eat it. It's a nivla saif, you're not allowed to eat it, midirabbana, but it's menatar, it's a good shechit. So why shouldn't you need kisi adam? The Gemara says you do need kisi adam. If you would have held en shechita lof menatar, you would need kisi adam. Ve'zok that Mishnah goes on ov, it goes on chaya. Misar is ba'ov, lo b'chaya. The next Mishnah also like that. The Gemara says, Enachanami, if you hold en shechita lof menatara, so if you do nechira simanim by an oaf, it's a good shechita menatara, you're not allowed to eat it midrabbanan, but you still need kisi adam. The halacha still requires kisi adam. So how do we paskin? So that's the Rosh and the end of Yuma, the last Rosh in Yuma, has a machlaikas. He quotes a Maharam Rutenberg holds en shechita lof menatara. He paskins like the second Tana. And Rover Rishonim assume not so, that shechita sof is all the dina machal menatar, and that's the nafkamina ledina. If you do nechira simanim on an oaf, you're not allowed to eat it, it's an avela, are you still mechiv to do kisi adam or not? Okay. That's the machlaikas. The Rosh has it there, Shaila. The Rosh has this discussion. Let's say you have a chayla on Shabbos, chayla mesukan on Shabbos, and the doctors say you have to give him hot chicken. And we don't have any chicken. So would you say that a Jew should shecht the chicken? Or you say, let a guy shecht the chicken? If a Jew shechts a chicken, he's doing a malacha deraisa for the sake of pikuach nefesh, his mutter. But if can ask a guy to shecht the chicken, because shechita loif is only with the rabbanon, so the chayla will only be in violation of an eisa de rabbanon. Eating nivla sa'oif, minatar, it's not a nivla sa'oif. The guy does in chira, it's a good shechita minatar. If a Jew is going to do the shechita, it'll be a malacha deraisa. So that's a shayla. Whenever you have to be mechal Shabbos, you try to violate the lesser of the, whenever you have an option to save his life this way or that way, you try to do the lesser of the two evils. So which is the lesser of the two evils? Yeah, you would do kisi adam. No, you do kisi adam after Shabbos. You don't do kisi adam, okay? Yeah, you see, you won't do kisi adam. The world won't come to an end. The chicken is going to be kosher without the kisi adam. Kisi adam is not ma'akev in the heter achilim. So that's the context where the Rosh has this discussion. Should yesk a goy to go shecht the chicken, so it'll only be an isa de rabbanon if he'll eat it, or should a Jew shecht the chicken, because it'll be an isa de raisa if the Jew eats it, because shechita loif menatar. So the Jew shecht is going to be a malacha de raisa. So the Rosh there is calculating the end of Yuma, which is hakala kal tchila, which is the lesser of the two evils. Yeah.
The undercurrent idea and concept of Olda's Dinim seem to be, I think, to be humane to the animal. Kill it. It's the least agonizing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's...
That's what it sounds like?
That's what it sounds like. But based on the question I answered before, if he's a shrek, he's not killed yet. You can just let him run around to, without being killed totally. But it negates this whole concept.
No, so you try to kill the animal faster. You don't use a knife to kill the animal, you shoot it.
But you... No, but don't you have to make sure that the animal is dead? I mean, shrek... Already dead.
Yeah. That's a din. You're not allowed to eat it because mancha la teitzei nafsha. That's la sech la ladam. You're not, even though you did a full shchita, not allowed to eat the animal because man that is still jumping around. So you have to make sure that it's dead.
It, of course not.
Not of course not.
Jumping around.
Best is to kill it somehow. So in Shulchan Aruch they say.
It cannot be complete. It cannot be good.
No, so you bang it on the head. You bang the animal on the head, you cause it to die faster.
So the shchita is not the one that killed it.
No, the Alpidin, that's considered it's dead already. And it's just an agony now. The animal is considered dead already, yeah.
It's not an Eben Achai, though.
Not an Eben, right. It's not an Isa Eben Achai. It's a separate, right, it's a separate Isa of Lasach Laladam, yeah. In the end of Parshas Nasai, that's what we learn on Chanukah every day, Torah says that when they completed the building of the Mishkan, so every day the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan, the Nasi of each Shevet brought special Korbanos L'Chanukah HaMizbeach. So the Pashup Shat is, this was once in the history of the world. This is Hoyrah Shoah, and it doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. The Rambam has 14 Klolim in the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs to establish which mitzvahs belong in Sefer HaMitzvahs, which not. So this is... the third klal. He said, the first klal, you don't count mitzvahs derabbanan. Second klal, you don't count things that are only drushes of Torah Shabbat Peh. And then he says, you only count things that are dinim l'durs. If it's only harosha, doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Ramban writes a chiddush both here, in his commentary on Chumash, as well as on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He thinks that, in principle, this is a mitzvah l'durs. The details of who should bring how many karbonas, which day, and which order, Nasi l'shevet, the Yehuda first, and so on, the details are Hirosha, but in principle, when you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. That's a mitzvah min HaTorah. And at the time of the completion of the Beis Rishon, so they brought also Karbonos, they celebrated for 2 weeks, Shivas Yamim, Shivas Yamim. And when the Beis Sheni was built, they celebrated for longer, and the Beis HaShlishi will be built, they'll celebrate for over 6 months. The Ramban says that in principle, when you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. How many days you celebrate and what Karbonos you bring, that's already Harosha. But in principle, this is a mitzvah. So the Pashtus is that this is what the whole institution of Yom Tov of Megillas Tainis is based on. Every time the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, they made a yontif. What? That's the halacha. Every time the Jewish army is victorious in battle, you establish a yontif. The answer is no. In the days of the Hashmonaim, they had a Beis HaMikdash. And if the enemy would have won the war, they would have either destroyed the Beis HaMikdash or defiled the Beis HaMikdash, used it for Avodah Zarah purposes. So the fact that the Hashmonaim were victorious in battle, they saved the Beis HaMikdash from being destroyed. It's not the same as the original Pasuk in Chumash. When you complete the building of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate like a yontif. But it's a kiyum deraisa. It's a kiyum deraisa when you preserve the Beis HaMikdash, or when you improve the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, or you improve the Hakrovas HaKrabonis, or you improve the institution of the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin is one of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash. You also have the right to celebrate. It's not a violation of Baal Tosef. There is a mitzvah kiyumis if you will celebrate. And that's what the Nesivis and the Svasemis explain. Why did they establish Purim in the first time? According to the Gemara's tradition, the Yom Tov Purim was established before the completion of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. It was in between, towards the end of the 70 years of Golas Bavel. So why did they have a right to make a Yom Tov? It had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. So they both explained they felt it was going to lead up, the Nes Purim is going to lead up to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's when you have something that's called Aschalta de Gula. Gula, the Ramban says, means building of the Beis HaMikdash. That's Gula. When the Jews were still in the Midbar, they weren't back in Eretz Yisrael yet, but they had a Mishkan, that's called Geula. And now we're back in Eretz Yisrael, but we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, that's, there's no Golus, but it's not yet Geula. It's not yet Gula. That's how the Chazon Ish said when they established Medina Yisrael. So he said, this is the end of the Golas, but we don't yet have Gula. So they thought he was it was double talk. It's not double talk. Gula, the Ramban writes on Chumash, Gula means when you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have Soto Laka Alei HaHalehim. So when they experienced the Nes Purim, they felt this was Aschalta the Gula. That's the Lashon of the Nesivis in his commentary on Megillas Esther. This is going to be something, this event of Nes Purim is going to lead towards the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's why many of us celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom Yerushalayim. We feel that historically it looks like this is probably going to lead up to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Nesivis says, even if it turns out that you made a mistake and it didn't lead up to, but if at the time that you established the Yontif, it looks like it's going to lead up to the building of Beis HaMikdash, there's no violation of Baal Tosef. You're allowed to celebrate, because the Nesivis thinks that after a while they discontinued part of the observance of Purim. They changed the observance because they realized that they made a mistake and it wasn't going to lead up to the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. How did they establish it in the first place? It looked like it was going to lead up to the building. Others hold, no, it did lead up. The story of Purim did lead up, however that happened. But this Parsha, according to the Ramban, the end of Parshas Nosai, is the whole basis for the whole Yontif of Megillas Tainis. Whenever you complete, and then the other poskim say, when you complete the building of a shul or a building of a yeshiva, so Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash is a Migdash Miyat. So some hold that that's also a mitzvah min haTorah to have a celebration. Who should speak and which chazan should sing, which nigan, and should it be, what day of the week should it be? That's already details. That's how Rosh Hashanah. But in principle, that you have to celebrate when you complete the building of a shul, the building of a Beis HaMedrash, like Beis HaMikdash, that many poskim hold that that's a din d'oraisa. We should have what to celebrate about.